Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneckinize, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
I just got reminded there's a big election going on in Florida, or no, Georgia. Yeah, we're trying to get that Senate race sorted out over there. And I don't know, man. It's crazy. You know, I don't know. Tell me what you think. 515-602-9731. That's the call-in number to our radio show. We got a live radio show here every weeknight, 7 p.m. Eastern time. Like I said, right here, 515-602-9731. And all things trucking and then some. You got anything going on? Let me know. You got any opinions you want to voice? Let me know. One of our great sponsors I can think, and that is DPF Regeneration. Go check them out at dpfregeneration.com. We appreciate all their support and sponsorship of Redneckinize. That's DPF Regeneration. Those are the folks over there where if you need to get your DPF filter cleaned or serviced, or if you need some parts, EGR coolers, turbos, charge air coolers, all that kind of stuff. You give them a call over there. They got all the know-how and technology. Just good diesel engine experience. Check them out at dpfregeneration.com. So, like I said, we're just diving into things, seeing what's going on, and hope everybody's having a good old night out there. Keep things rocking and rolling, and appreciate everybody's support and all that good stuff. So, like I said, I was just reminiscing about there's more election going on. There's early voting going on in Georgia right now. So if you're out there in the area and you, I don't know, sometimes you turn into local radio, that's what you're going to hear about is the Senate election in Georgia. Other big news today is that the U.S. soccer team beat Iran 1-0. Big shootout over there. I don't follow soccer. I don't even know. You know, I just know it was going on. A lot of bars and local restaurants were having watch parties. It was at 1 o'clock, you know, p.m. today. It was probably at 2 o'clock Eastern, 1 p.m. Central Time is when it started. And, I woke up, I poked my head out the door. The sun was shining. It was in the 80s today down here in South Texas. And I just, you know what, I went out and got the bike and I went riding. So, and that's what I did. So what else you got going on? That's pretty much it, and we're talking about yesterday we talked about a couple of deals going on with freight rates slowing down, and, of course, the rates are getting pretty low right now. And I think the recession, you know, technically, if you follow the politicians, we started a recession last quarter, and then I guess we did all right. The second quarter of 2022, we didn't do that well. That was technically the recession, and I guess the third quarter of 2022, we did all right, so technically not in a recession, but everybody seems to believe that it's coming harder than before and it's going to keep on looming. The inflation rate is just out of control where they had to raise the rates, the interest rates there at the Federal Reserve, which makes it harder for big businesses to take out debt, you know, and it's more expensive. So you have to think about whether or not you're going to take that debt on. So when the debt is expensive, you can't really borrow money to, you know, sustain any kind of growth or anything like that to where you're going to be like, you know, how do you say, just you might have to lay off some employees. You might not be able to buy some new equipment. You might have to sell some old equipment. You might have to downsize a little bit just to maintain cash flow in a business that you run. So if you're a trucking, if you're a owner operator owning a small fleet or just a one truck operation, just know that if you're cutting back, you know, or what you don't want to be doing is you don't want to be like, you know, expecting good results when times are pretty much uncertain. So just know the trucking industry pretty much leads the way on that. We seem to see the slowdown before anybody else. And a couple of the articles that I was reading up, you know, it's looming. So just get ready for that. And the other funny story that we got yesterday was pretty funny was Tesla had a big truck that completed a 500-mile journey with a full load of 81,000 pounds. And it's like, so what? You're supposed to do that every day, day in, day out. It's, you know, you do it one time, and then the goal is to do it 500 this day, 500 the next day, you know. And if that's a Tesla. What is that? To me, it's an all-electric truck, so it's still got a driver. So, okay, so 500 miles one day, 500 miles the next, you know, and then you become a trucker, right? It's not 500 miles and not, let's throw our hats in the air and it's all done. No, it's keep you going. 500 miles one day, 500 miles the next, 500 miles the next. So how many days did it take you to charge the batteries to be able to drive that 500 miles pulling 80,000 pounds? Right? So you got to be able to shut down, plug in, and charge that truck to go another 500 miles the next day. And that's what you got to do. So Freightways had a little article about that, and we'll dive into that a little bit too. So, you know, talking about what's going on. And what else you got going on out there? Like I said, Thanksgiving's over with. Time to get on down the road. And we got Christmas coming up, so get ready for that. And we'll see what else is going on. But, yeah, check us out. Like I said, redneckandeyes.com. Don't forget to go subscribe to our YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that over there. We are on YouTube Live, and that is that looks good. I was just checking that out, make sure everybody's doing good on that. And so just, like I said, go subscribe to our YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that. Redneckandeyes.com is where you'll find links to all that stuff, and you can find links to all our great sponsors, too. Another great sponsor I like to mention, and that's Trucker Tools, the Trucker Tools app. You can download that app from your app store, and we'll talk about them a little later on, too, down the road in the show. So 515-602-9731, tell us what it's all about and what you got going on, and we'll dive into a couple of things. And it's Redneck and Eyes Radio. We'll see you in a bit.
Just Pastor Jimmy in a white. I've been passing everything in sight. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight. It really seems like a month since I kissed my baby goodbye. I could have a lot of women, but I'm not like some other guy. I could find one to hold me tight, but I could never make believe it's right. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight. ICC is checking on down the line. I'm a little overweight and my log's way behind. But nothing bothers me tonight. I can dodge on the scales all right. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight. My rig's a little low, but that don't mean she's slow. There's a flame from a stack and the smoke's pulling back that coal. My hometown's coming in sight. If you think I'm happy, you're right. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight.
This week's episode is sponsored by LTR Transportation. Come be part of a great carrier celebrating a new year with new trucks and new growth. Check them out at ltrtransportation.com or give them a call at 720-277-0030. Thank you, LTR, for being supporter of Redneck and Eyes. Redneck and Eyes, common sense solutions for an uncommon world.
We'll be right back.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're here live. We're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Give us a call at 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation. Just hit one, or you can just listen. You know, no big deal. We're also on YouTube live right now. Check us out, YouTube/RedneckandEyes, however that works. I thought my video was still going. There it goes. Oh, that's what it is. This is locked up. There we go. Just make sure all the technical difficulties are all situated like they need to be, and appreciate everybody doing that. So, let's see this article here. Tesla. Tesla Semi completes first 500-mile journey with full load. Isn't that something else? And, of course, it's the, like, concept art. It's not even a real photo. If this is a real photo, it's weird. They definitely doctored it up to make it look different. But it doesn't look real to me at all. It looks like it's kind of like a mock-up or something. That's the cover photo of this article. All-electric Class 8 truck finishes test run weighing 81,000 pounds, 500-mile journey. Journey. 500 miles. Oh, my goodness. Oh, stop the world. I want to get off. Like I said, this is what you're supposed to do every day. So it's not completing 500 miles and then everybody's happy. It's 500 miles, then next day another 500, then next day another 500. The Tesla Semi has completed a 500-mile trip with a load of 81,000 pounds. Tesla owner Elon Musk tweeted Saturday. The first test run was an important step for the Austin, Texas-based company's all-electric Class 8 commercial truck, which is supposed to be in production in 2019. Says Tesla's Semi program has suffered repeated delays, including the departure of a key executive and supply chain issues. Tesla NASDAQ first announced the Semi truck back in 2017. The Semi truck's first deliveries are scheduled to PepsiCo subsidiary Frito-Lay sometime over the next several weeks. Tesla has already installed a mega charger on the Frito-Lay distribution site in Modesto, California. Along with PepsiCo, the Semi has attracted thousands of orders from fleets. Mass production of the Semi, up to 50,000 units per year, is expected to take place at Tesla's Austin Gigafactory. I've seen that in Austin. It's out there by the Loop. Us truck drivers, we don't take the toll road around Austin. You know, it's expensive, and it's a long way out of the way. And if you go through Austin at a certain time of day, especially through in the middle of the night, then what's the use? You know, I mean, it's basically what they're going to have to do is like Atlanta. They're going to have to restrict it to where trucks can't go downtown. But it is way out of the way. I mean, it's not necessarily like at least 285. They've gotten to the point in Atlanta to where all the stuff that involves with trucking, it all revolves around the Loop. And if you're just trying to go through Atlanta, you know, it's pretty much faster than going through downtown because it's not a straight shot. Downtown's a mixed master of all kind of interchanges and everything. Austin is just one road. Okay, there's no major interstate going through downtown Austin that would confuse anybody. So if you're ever out there on the toll road in Austin, you'll see it. And it's actually, I think, it's not even on the main toll road. It's like on the road going toward Interstate 10. So it's on the 130, I think it is, not on 45, I think is the name of the number of the road. Like I said, I hardly ever take it. I run that route every night at like 1 o'clock in the morning and 3 o'clock in the morning and go through right downtown. No problem. The only problem is construction. It's traffic's not an issue. It's construction. Traffic is bad. Now during the day, traffic is horrible. And if you can go around, go, but you know, it's expensive if you're an owner operator having to pay your own way. So just be careful with that. And that's the Giga factory there in Austin, where they're planning on producing up to 50,000 units of this electric truck per year, 50,000. says, which also produces the Model Y electric vehicle. According to Tesla, the Semi will be able to accelerate from 0 to 60 in 20 seconds for a fully loaded truck with a combined gross combined weight of 82,000 pounds. The estimated fuel savings versus a conventional diesel-powered truck is 200,000 over 3 years. Well, that's what is that per year? Like 70,000, 75,000, something like that. It says Semi was previously priced at 150,000 for a 300-mile range version and 180,000 for a 500-mile truck, according to previous information on the Tulsa website or Tesla website. It's unclear if prices have changed. So the distance, it's a government regulation thing. So anybody knows me, I was out test riding the electric motorcycles that Harley Davidson has, and they only go 100 miles. And they said it's because of the restriction of the battery. So the smaller the battery, the less the distance, of course, but it's a regulation thing. It has nothing to do with what the battery can hold. It's what the government will allow it to safely hold. So it's like you're only allowed to have the battery charged so much to hold so much, you risk, you know, overloading it or whatever. So there's a lot of regulations tied in with that shut off and unplug and all that. Got a picture of the tweet here. Tesla team just completed a 500-mile drive with a Tesla Semi weighing in at 81,000 pounds. And it had 365,000 likes. And that's all I can see. And that's it. There's a lot of comments on this one. It says, I'm a truck driver. The electric truck is no good for pulling doubles. Don't have enough power to pull 140,000-pound load, and I drove over 500 miles a day. So what do I do when the battery dies? Go to bed. I have a day cab truck. And another person said, impressive. How real world was the route? Was it mostly downhill? Include grade climbing, stop and go, 100 degrees, ambient temperatures, AC running, wide open, see what the range is. The bigger question is, when will the electric power grid distribution be ready to support more of the faction? I mean, think about this. Excuse me. You got 50,000 trucks out there in 1 year. Okay. How much electricity is going to need to run those trucks 500 miles a day? You know, fuel savings based on what? What are you paying for? How much is it going to cost you to plug in and charge that truck? And, you know, you're going to have to buy your own facility and pay for your own electricity. So most of the time it's going to be these big carriers are going to be doing that. And cost effectiveness, I don't know. You know, people, I think the Tesla thing hasn't really proven to be any kind of efficiency. They just like it as zero emissions. That's the biggest thing. But again, we've done the math. Other entities have done studies and research and everything, and the equivalency of making a car and have it produce carbon dioxide, you know, for 10 years, or not even that, just for the life of the car, which most people keep them 3 to 5 years, okay, having a car produce emissions for 3 to 5 years, they say is equivalent or just slightly more pollutant than the actual process that it takes to manufacture an electric vehicle, because of all the precious metals that you're having to dig out of the ground and mining and all that stuff. And I mean, there's stuff like that you got to do too for a conventional car, but you're not putting that hard to find like nickel and, you know, platinum and all that stuff that you have to find to conduct electricity and to be efficient. So, you know, people said that. I don't have the exact deal on there, but, you know, it's been said that there's not really that big of a difference when it comes to overall, what do they call it? Carbon neutral, you know, that a lot of things have to change. Okay, now, how about that? There we go. And YouTube should be working. Looks like everything's working good on here. Everything on this deal here was working right, as far as I could tell. No, maybe not. How about that? Yeah, it doesn't even look like that's working. See, now it's, it was working. There we go. So, and then, yeah, my input's working good. So that's good. There we go. So, and then, well, I hope YouTube's working out pretty good. Yeah, I see little levels on there now. The little indicator there doesn't always light up. So, looks like it's working now. All right, here, I'm back. What do you know?
All right, yeah, it's working now. I guess it is on this side. I don't know, on the radio side. I don't know what is going on YouTube.
Yeah, it looks like, I mean, all I can see is I've tested stuff as it went off. But, yeah, just a minute ago, I mean, it went like microphone not working right. So I don't know if the internet died on me or what real quick. But then everything was working on my YouTube side, so I guess everything was working right. But
like I said, Tip was having trouble with hers here a couple weeks ago. I don't know what the hell. She went and got a new mic and everything, and that still wasn't it.
Well, this Blog Talk Radio, it's not really the best in the world as far as internet connection.
Kind of noticing that. All right.
Well,
back to the other stuff. Dev trucks. I just come in right as you was getting into that. But so these electric trucks is going to go from 0 to 60 in 20 seconds.
Yeah.
All right. So now we're going to have race cars out here as if these guys ain't driving like idiots now.
Okay.
All right. Now 0 to 60 in 20 seconds. How much freight damage is going to be in the back of that trailer?
Man, I tell you what,
that'd be snatching that damn truck clear out from under that damn freight back there. No, I'd super glue all the boxes together to keep in the trailer.
But like I said, I was going on and on. I mean, you tell me what you think, but you know what's going to happen is they're going to make this truck so efficient as far as its ability to move that it's not going to last. Like, you're not going to be able to sit in that truck and go day in, day out. The door ain't going to open right. The window ain't going to roll down right. I mean, just stuff like that. You know, I mean, I don't think they understand the truck needs to last. A million miles is a long time.
What happens when something, a fire breaks out in it, on it, and the doors and everything's locked, the windows is up, nothing will cooperate, nothing will work, and there you are sitting in there.
Yeah.
You're gonna be like a Thanksgiving turkey, man. You're gonna sit there and roast.
So But
you'll be doing it with a smile on your face because you're saving the planet.
Saving the planet, yeah. Well, you know, the funny thing, I was test riding those electric bikes that Harley has, and the guy was telling, you know, what to do and everything, and one of the guys out there riding, he slipped because he never ridden like a crotch rocket before, and that's how they're set up. So he slipped his peg off. He couldn't get his foot down, and he fell over. So we picked it up and got it back, and it got scratched up a little bit. So we told the guy, hey, it fell over, and we scratched it up a little bit. He's like, hey, if it falls over again, don't do anything. Just call me because they could explode. I was like, well, what the hell are they doing out there on the road if they can? If a bike falls over and can't explode? How many times did, you know, I mean, first off, the guy that drops the bike on the road, not necessarily the brightest, the sharpest tack in the box. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's just like ones that drive it out of their driveway and run it right in the ditch.
Yeah.
Something like that. No big deal.
Yeah, no big deal at
anything
all.
Anything but a chicken wing, Robbie, I tell you.
Well, that's just like battery capacity, you know. Talking about, well, the batteries is only going because the government won't let them go, but so much capacity in there.
All right, what's going on with these trucks right now?
people are deleting these engines so they can, they'll get them last longer and they perform better and less maintenance. So, you know, it's always been about new and improving. Everybody, even with these trucks since the beginning, everybody's out to figure, you know, just, well, like the cars. Somebody figured out a way to make a chip, you know, to chip them and make them run faster, make them go, you know, faster. You always, and they're going to do the same thing to them. It's just a matter of time, and somebody's going to find a way to bypass that to where they can, well, you know, with a figure of speech, stick a paper clip in the plug to override the computer so the battery will charge to, you know, maximum capacity so they can go 200 miles instead of 100. And then they're going to put it on the internet. They're going to sell that damn paper clip for $500, and this will get you farther down the road. It is what it is. You know, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Why don't they just start drilling, open up the pipelines, leave the trucks alone, and worry about the economy, to try to get everybody, you know, to hell with all this. I'm sorry, I'll keep my diesel power truck.
I mean, and what we talked about, it's working on it. You can work on it.
Right.
The best thing about your truck, you can work on it. You can actually, and not only can you work on the engine, you can work on the door, you can work on the dash, you can work, you know, on the headlights, you can work on, you know, the body of it. It's not that
right.
Hard. The more and more they create all of this stuff, it's harder to do. And just like what Robbie said last night, if you got to own a truck, you got to be able to work on it.
Yep. I wonder what have they ever thought about what's going to happen in electrical storms when all these cars get out there and you have a big lightning storm or a big electrical storm somewhere and lightning starts hitting all over the place and how many cars is it going to affect and just whoop, away it goes, man.
Well, I mean,
nobody
like,
thinks
so,
about that. Fire surges, you know.
Yeah, well, not only that, I mean, I can see that probably could because, I mean, the first thing is that everybody's producing electric cars to stop climate change, but then they still say the climate is changing. So regardless of what we do, the climate's changing. So there's something to be said about that. So that means that really you don't really know the weather. So as a scientist, the weather is still a conundrum to you for somebody that knows a lot about science. Like you're saying, electrical storms could get bad enough where it boggles the brain to say, you know, I never thought that would happen. Well, I mean, you know, you keep saying that, and in every year you say that these are the strongest hurricanes on record. Well, wait a minute, you know, if it hasn't been ever recorded before, then how do you know they exist?
Right.
But
I just won't get it.
Yep. Well, I just tweeted back to Elon Musk. He said, you know, Tesla team just completed a 500-mile drive with a Tesla semi weighing 81,000 pounds. I said, no big deal. Call me when you can get it down the road 1,000 miles a day for 365 days of the year. Now, that's trucking.
Yep.
So, yep. Here he is. Okay, Robbie, you're on now.
Oh, okay. Put 9 minutes, you know, 90 minutes later. No, just joking. I was kind of going, I got jumped on Seat of Life's page, and I'm kind of reading over some of these comments on it. And one guy even said, if I can only drive 500 miles a day, I'm going to be pissed off at myself.
Right?
Because I drove 700 miles today. I go, I would have been done 3 hours ago.
I mean... It says
that's
that the
eight
truck,
hours.
When you can buy a
well,
truck.
Look at you big old outlaw, you.
A 300-mile range
oh,
or
I'm an
500-mile range. That's it. But then again, how long does it take to charge that truck? And what I was getting to earlier
it,
about the power
I haven't heard on how long it takes to charge. Okay, if it takes 10 hours to charge it back up so you can run another 500 miles, you're only working 8 hours a day.
Yeah.
Like Greg would say. Solar-powered truck drivers.
Yeah. Well, and not only that, California passed a bill where they were going to give people money to buy electric vehicles because they're trying to, like, California wants to outlaw all gas-powered vehicles by 2035 or something
okay,
like that.
That being said, if they start that, I'll buy one because then the government's going to get. I want the government to get a government loan to go out and buy that car. Then once I buy it, it starts screwing up. Then I'm going to start crying like these little buttercups do, and I'm going to tell them I want loan forgiveness. I want you to write that loan off because I can't pay it back.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, not only that.
Okay.
Because guess what's going to happen in California? Because already, what's the most common thing in California right now? Rolling blackouts. They tell people turn your AC off during certain times because you're less likely to have a blackout. So if everybody parks their trucks at a truck stop and plugs in, how soon before that the grid goes dark? Because there's just too many trucks plugged in. I mean,
I want to see how long it's going to take where some of them take off, catch cords, and rip everybody's cords out.
Because we know it happens.
You know, it's just
it happens at the pumps every day.
I with these electric power trucks or battery power trucks, I don't see they're having issues with diesel power trucks with all electronics in it. And now you're going to throw everything electronic? That thing's going to burn to the ground.
Hey, have you guys been out there lately? So this one Flying J that I stop at sometimes, the funniest thing is that in half the parking lot, they got rid of most of the truck parking in half the parking lot because you know what they installed in that parking lot? CNG.
IHOPs.
No, CNG.
IHOPs. You're talking about that. That's Petro TA. They're going to IHOP, man.
Yeah, I saw that.
I hopped my ass out. Hey,
CNG's been around for a while, but.
Yeah, but nobody's using it.
Imagine Tiff listening right now, but that leftover lasagna was good.
Oh, Quick Brown knows it.
Whatever works. Whatever works.
Whatever works, man.
Comes up to the house, stays 3 or 4 days or a week, loads up with food, hauls ass, and you don't see him again for 6 months. What the hell?
And he comes back with empty food containers.
Sorry, I said it the other day. I told his wife if I had to keep him like this all the time, I was going to expect a damn check in the mail for child support.
What was
her
comment?
She said, I'll send you a check if you keep him. I told her it'd be cheaper if I just paid for his fuel and sent him home.
Good stuff.
Oh, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do with this. It's crazy. I don't know. I'm not going to say I'll never be around long enough to see it ever come full tilt because I said that years ago, too, when this country started going the way it's going now, I said, well, it don't matter. I'll never be around long enough to see it go to that. Well, guess what? Boy, did I get fooled.
Yeah, no kidding.
I might be around enough to where I see, like my kids or even your grandson. I feel sorry for him.
That's what I said. These people now. I understand, people want to have babies, whatever, but, they're not thinking long term. You're thinking right now, yeah, they're cute and I want to have a baby and I want kids and everything. Well, that's all good and well. But you got to think, look what you're going through. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when they get up, the age, well, I ain't going to say my age, but, 30s, 20s, 30s, 40s. It's going to be bad, man. It's going to be bad.
Yep.
It's not going to be around to take care of.
Well, and then look at the government. Look at the administration now. Nobody will say that China is bad. They won't never say that.
No.
They'll never see it. I mean, even Fauci.
Crazy.
I mean, come on, dude. He's like, I'm not political. Anybody that knows me knows I'm not political, but I don't think China was involved in it like people say they are. Come on, dude. Stop it, okay?
He's the one who funded it.
Yeah. My whole thing is that if a scientist has claim a scientist has to say he's not political, then he is political.
Right. Well, it's like now, if he ain't political, then why the hell is he pushing it now? He's saying now they're trying to lock these kids down again, mask, and yeah, you know, in schools and shit locked down. What the hell, man? Come on.
Washington, D.C. requires negative COVID tests to go back to school.
That's bullshit. Because Biden just come on and said that COVID is over. It's over. We're going to treat it now like the common, you know, like the common flu, like the seasonal flu. COVID's around here to stay. So treat it like the seasonal flu. No. Well, we got a lot. You know, you got a mask, got tests. No, bullshit. I will never take their damn shot. Period. Period. As Biden says, period.
Yep.
They can shove their vaccines in their ass.
I'm telling you.
Excuse me, YouTubers. Sorry about my language. Not sorry.
Lord, I apologize. Do what's big me as a New Guinea. Amen.
You got Greg Rowland.
Freaking
tonight.
Idiot.
Jeez.
But yeah, so I mean.
Oh, somebody get on there and Google this West Paris Southbound Way Station down here in Walton and on 71 and see what they're doing. Out their mind.
Hold on a minute.
Out their mind. They're closed. Unless these lying ass truck drivers on Trucker Pass lying to me.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll tell you here in about another 10 minutes. When you hear me start squalling like a little, crying like a little, never mind. You'll know. When you hear me start screaming, you'll know. Just start a GoFundMe account quick because I'm going to need it.
Mid-continent.
And that's a story for another day off the air.
Well, here's another article that just came out here earlier today. It was freightwaves.com. It says, falling freight rates shutter Iowa trucking company after 24 years. He says, I would rather be able to pay my employees while I still have the money than wait until I don't. It says, family-owned Mid-Continent Trucking of Denison, Iowa, notified drivers and employees recently that after 24 years, the refrigerated carrier was ceasing operations 2 days after Thanksgiving because of worsening economic conditions and tumbling freight rates. An email about the closing creates some confusion, but the company says all displaced employees who want to work have since found jobs. In a situation where the economics made the decision for us and it was time to get out of the trucking business. So owner Brian Wilkersham told Freightwaves.
I can almost agree with him and respect that guy. I mean, granted, he's set for life, but at least he did with the right thing. At least he didn't do like Arrow and Falcon and all of them where he just stuck them guys out on the road and said, that's it, we're done.
Exactly.
You know, at least he told them it was going to happen.
Yeah, and it's like, you know,
give them time to find jobs.
Yep, I'll you know, and you're paid for all the work you've done. You know, I paid you for everything that I you. You know, so yeah. He says in an email to the company, 25 employees, Wilkersham stated they have heard some rumors about some changes coming on at Mid-Continent. If not, there is something going on. And this notice is to let you know that Brian and Ted have sold our equipment to Western Flyer Express. That's who they sold the equipment.
Oh, boy.
Yep.
Western Flyer. Never mind. I'm going to keep my comments to myself.
They're out of Oklahoma. Western Flyer's out of Oklahoma, Greg. Not Western Express, Western Flyer.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I'll keep my comments to myself.
Kusa.
Lord, forgive me. Be with the starving pygmies down in New Guinea. Amen. I don't know. I don't know where it's going or where it ends, but tell you what, man.
I don't think there's an end in sight.
It ain't looking good. It ain't looking good.
Yeah, I was just reading on here. I guess the company that bought the equipment it wasn't Western Flyer Express exactly, but it was a company called RWTL Capacity Solutions, which is based out of Oklahoma City as well. Looks like they probably work with Western Flyer Express because they, this company, Capacity Solutions, what they do is they lease trucks to drivers, like at least to own program. So they're pretty much the lease purchase for Western Flyer.
Yeah, dig down into it a little more. You probably find out they're affiliated or they're tied in with George Soros somehow.
Maybe.
Son of a bitch. He's into everything else.
Well, the biggest problem we see all the time is the fact that there's so many drivers out there that get lured into that lease purchase, and these lease purchase companies, they are making money hand over fist because we need more drivers to say no. Say no to that. You know, we need to learn our lessons.
Right. Well, they won't learn, though. Everybody, you know, these guys out here, they want to, you know, they've been out here for a little bit. They want to be a big-time owner-operator, you know. They want to run their business. They want to, okay. I tell you what, if you want to be an owner-operator, you better be able to drive it. You better be able to do your own bookwork. You better be able to do your own rebuilds and your own work on that truck. You better know what that makes that truck tick. Because I'm telling you now, if you got to take it to the shop every time you need a wiper blade change or a light bulb, you ain't going to make it long.
Yep, that's right.
You're not going to be a business long, not with the shop rates the way they are. And anybody that makes a difference with me, show me. I'm from Missouri. I'll be from Missouri. Show me. Because I'm telling you now, it ain't easy being easy. I'm telling you.
No. I'm right with you, Greg. I even said that last night is, some of these guys that think they want to be a big owner operator, driving's the easy part.
Yeah,
knowing how to do your own bookwork, working on the truck, save yourself.
Yeah,
you can save yourself thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars on working on it your own self. You know,
well,
Greg, you probably go home. Probably, you know what? At least once a month, you spend the whole time you're at home, you're working on the truck. If not, every time you go home.
Every time I go home, I got something to do. Yeah, at least one day.
At least one day is on the truck.
Hey.
Going over
what
it.
What was
just
it? Saturday?
It
what did we do Saturday? I had to pull my charge air cooler out, weld it, because the air cracked on the charge air cooler. Now, if that would have been somebody else, they would have stuck that in the shop. The shop would have said, oh, that ear's broke off. You need a new charge air cooler. There's $1,000, $1,500 plus labor. You know, plus you have to make an appointment to get it in the shop to get it done. What did it take me? Well, take that off. We took it off of there in 10, 15 minutes. I had it off of there. Took us what? I screwed with it 45 minutes or an hour after I got done screaming and bitching and cussing the welder out. And it was back on in 10 minutes, 15 minutes.
I just walked away, and I went over and sat on my truck and just played on my phone because he was having evil times with the welder. I should have filmed it because it was kind of funny.
That was something right there, man. All would have been was one steady beep on YouTube because you couldn't have put that language out there.
No. It would have been, one steady beep. But, you know, if you would have put it in a shop somewhere, you would probably spend $2,000 with labor and parts.
Well,
and that's not
right,
including the downtime. Now you're looking at probably 2 to 3 days or maybe a week.
How long ago was it I had to have my truck towed home from Akron, right? Well, I'll tell you when it was. It was the end of September. Right there, we went out to that truck show. When we come back, I worked that week, and that synchronizer broke. You know, the ship said that synchronizer broke in the back of the transmission. Let me sit out there in Akron. We had it towed home, $615. I couldn't avoid that. That was a cheap tow bill.
Yeah.
All right. Donnie helped me pull it out. We pulled the tranny out and had it on the ground in about 2 hours, hour and a half, 2 hours. It was out from under the truck. Him and Tim's dad and I tore it apart, found out what was broke, took the back box off of it, tore it apart. I went up, got the parts. The parts for it was like $627 for the parts, $615 for the tow bill. Now, If I would have had to have that to take that to put it in the shop, they'd have had to pull the tranny, tear it apart, fix it, put it back in. What would that repair bill have been?
Well,
I'll tell you right now,
we don't know how to rebuild this old of a transmission. You know, I'm just coming out.
I guarantee
after
it would have been seven. It would have been
$7,000 to $10,000.
Because
they would have wanted you to, oh, you need to put a new transmission in it. Oh, wait, we got to find one first.
Yep, I don't
and
have time for that.
I'm
in business. I'm in business to make money, not spend money. Now, if I got to spend it, I'll spend it, fix it myself. But, when, you know, I mean, the way these rates are out here anymore, just like right there, I stopped a little bit ago. I found fuel $5.49 a gallon up there in Ohio. I stopped. I put 180 gallon in this truck. It was $1,000 even when I pulled away from the pump. Now, how in the hell does people justify that?
Yeah.
$1,000 for 180 gallon.
I'm trying to there's a load. Actually, I think there's two. There are garbage trucks that are near me up in Jonesburg, Arkansas, that are going back to Phoenix. And the rate on it is $4,200. That's as much as they got into it. And I tried to get, you know, something a little bit better. I was trying to get up towards $5,000 to go home. Yeah, it's a good load going home. I'm still not going to take it. And then my agent a little while ago texted me back, oh, they upped the rate another $50. I'm
$50.
That's something. $50.
$50.
Hmm.
Wow,
and
that paid your internet bill.
Yeah. I guess they haul these all the time to Phoenix at this rate. I'm like, who in their right mind is taking a load? It comes out to $2.64 a mile.
How are
you making
that
any money on that? It costs me $2.35 a mile to move my truck.
Yeah.
Again, I know my numbers. I know what it takes to move my truck and trailer.
It don't
the
matter.
Fuel,
at the end
insurance.
Of the day, at the end of the day, it's not just they think that all you got to do is work for fuel. You got to have enough, make enough money to pay for your fuel. Well, what about tires? What about maintenance? Sooner or later, that truck's going to need an overhaul. Or with this new bullshit out here, this garbage on these trucks, that after treatment shit, something's going to screw up, and it's going to be big money. You know, you blow one tire, you're talking $600-$700, at least. So
at least.
Where do you where? I mean, it don't add up. They think you're just, you know, you're working for the truck. No, or just so you can buy groceries and pay your bills at home. Well, you either pay your bills at home or you take care of your truck. You take care of your truck, you don't eat at home. You eat at home, then you got to let the truck, something go on the truck. Bullshit. That's nonsense.
Hmm.
But that's the way it is. That they've got everybody, you know.
Yeah.
And you keep hearing about all the truck shortage. I don't get it. I hope that railroad does go on strike. I do.
Oh,
I hope
what?
They go
you
on
know,
strike.
Yeah,
I hope
I,
they
I was,
shut this son of a bitch down.
You know, it's like a 50-50 deal on which direction it's going to go if the rail shuts down. Okay, the stuff that's on the rail now, if they shut down, okay, that product, whatever it is, it's going to either, because I've seen reefers on there too, is that stuff is going to spoil after that reefer runs out of fuel. And if they're
exactly.
going on strike, they're
fine,
not going to.
Let it.
They're not going to. Okay, let it. Okay, all that stuff that's on the rail, we're not going to be able to get because it's on the rail and they go on strike. They're not going to they're not going to work. Okay, now the stuff that's in warehouses that it was going to go on the rail, well, they're on strike. Well, we still need to get it moved, so they're going to have trucks move it. Or it might go
all
the
right.
other way where it just shuts everything down and they don't want to move anything on rail. Yeah, we're kind of it's a 50-50 deal
well,
on what's going to happen with that. I think it's going to be on the better half because now you're going to have all that product whatever it may be, is going to need to keep going, and they're going to they're going to pay the race to get it moved.
You're not going to you're not seeing the whole picture. All right, the stuff that's on the rail, yeah, there's produce, there's meat in reefers, you know, in these refrigerated containers, refrigerated trailers, you know, for these companies that can ship it on the rail. Okay, you got all this. Now, it's not just the product that they're going to lose if it sits there in them yards and rots in them trailers. But once that meat rots and spoils in them trailers, them trailers are junk.
Yeah.
Because you can't, you're not going to get the smell out of them. You're not going to get the smell out of them. You can't clean them. What do you do? All these trailers on the rail?
No, yeah.
Lose their ass. I hope the meat does spoil in them. I hope they lose their ass. Because that's exactly what's going to happen. Because they cannot, you can't clean. Once you got spoiled meat in there, you're going to have a hell of a time. I don't think they can get that smell out of them.
No.
They got, I mean,
no,
pretty much.
Even dry goods, after a certain point in time, dry goods will spoil in there too, whatever it may be.
Yeah, well, yeah, but most of the time they just
It's going to either, I call it either going good or to the bad. And I'm thinking it's going to be more towards the good on the driver, the trucker industry. We're going to have more. It might be go to the other way.
This trucking industry is going to straighten up until the government gets in there, just like they did on us. They want to regulate everything. All right, enough is enough with us. The only way they're going to ever straighten it everything up completely is they're going to have to intervene and start taking control of these damn freight brokers and start investigating them and get a hold of them, because they're just getting totally out of hand. There's millions of them out there. I swear to God, there's got to be. And they're just raping people, man. It's crazy. There is no way in hell that this kid is paying that cheap.
Yeah, well, even this other broker was really cheap, too. And it was on the same load. One Landstar had one portion, and they told us it was $4,200. This other broker out of Ohio, I can't remember what the Homeland or something like that, logistics or something, had the same load for $4,500. That's all they had into it. And I'm
You got it.
So now there's two different brokers on two different rates. Well, even if you went off $4,200 and $4,500, you know, you still have two different rates on the same
right.
piece of equipment that's getting shipped. I guarantee you they have a whole lot more into it.
I'm telling you, that broker's just keeping almost half. Donnie and Tiff and I has already caught him when I was over at Ace. When I was over with Bennett and Ace Duran, we caught him. And they deny it. We caught him. We know for a fact. Because Donnie's wife worked for a company that done the billing, and she told us back right there. It's right here on the computer. That load paid almost double what they paid us to haul the load. They kept almost, now I'm not going to say the whole thing, but they kept almost half, just under half is what they kept, and the rest of it they gave to us. Now, why? Why are they entitled to half of what that load paid just to put it, yeah, just to ship that load out to get a truck on it?
The only way to get the full amount of or what you want for a load is go into business yourself, have your own authority, have a direct customer. That is it.
That's all you can do.
But
and even that don't work.
Exactly. You know, payment. You want to wait 60 to 90 days on a load that you did 60 to 90 days ago? You don't even remember, half the time, you don't even remember what you did 2 weeks ago on freight.
Yeah,
or a month ago, literally on
know.
A month ago.
Well, hey, look, it's been good, but it's 8:03. Big boys got to go to work.
Got to go to work.
Oh, is it that time already?
Yep. millions of people on welfare and EBT. They need their EBT cards. They need to go. He needs to go so he pays taxes. Just like Joe said. Just like Joe, like Uncle Joe says, he needs to pay his fair share. So let him go to work because he's got to pay his fair share.
Oh, we could talk hours and hours and hours about on rates and how it's going to go and everything else.
Yep, there's always we got more shows. We got more shows before the end of the year. We got more shows before the election. We got a Georgia election they're trying to get done, and the strike is going to be, I think it's the 6th or 7th is the deadline for the strike.
Well, I thought it was the 9th.
9th, okay, there you go.
Oh, for the railroad strike?
That's next Friday.
Yeah.
Next Friday.
Right.
Yep. That makes sense. So there you go.
I don't know. Now, the election is what, the 6th, the runoff?
Yeah, Tuesday. Well, I mean, they're already having early voting, and according to some of the polling, the Democrats are, like, killing them. So, Republicans don't care. It's hard enough to get a Republican to show up to vote because he's too busy working, and you want him to show up twice?
Well, it's not that. They bullshitted him, and the Republicans say, man, we got this in the bag. I don't need to go out. Hell, we've already won it, so that my vote ain't going to matter that much because we already got it. Well, no, every vote counts. We need all of the more the better.
Yep.
I don't give a damn. As long as they get that nasty-ass-looking Nancy Pelosi out of there, I don't care. That ice cream-licking bitch, let her go somewhere else.
All right.
You got some colorful language. You got some colorful language tonight, Greg.
Hey, I don't even care. All right, that's my rant for tonight. I'll see you gentlemen later. Be careful, be safe. Drive safe, take it back home. I'll talk to you later on.
Good deal.
Quaker, I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, have a good night, Ed.
All right, now.
Keep
it in
between the ditches.
Sure will. Later. Well, good deal. Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and Eyes Radio, everybody. We're having a great night tonight, and we'll be back. So the women of Redneck and Eyes will be on tomorrow. And then Thursday, I'll probably take the day off because we're going riding. The ride starts at 7, and, of course, it's now 7:06 now. So think about it. I have to leave early to get to the ride. So we'll see how that goes, and hopefully we'll see you guys Friday for sure. Redneck and Eyes Radio, we're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can check us out at redneckandeyes.com for all of our great sponsors. Check us out. One of our last great sponsors I'd like to mention, that's Load to Ride Transportation. You can check them out at ltrtransportation.com. That's ltrtransportation.com. Load to Ride Transportation. They are transportation. Appreciate all everybody's support out there. Like I said, 515-602-9731. That's the phone number to call in to our Redneck and Eyes Radio Live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Appreciate everybody's support. Until next time, stay safe, stay successful, keep between the ditches, and we'll see you out there on the road.
Getting up out in back of the chutes makes that rosin burn. He's got his spurs on the heels of his boots. He's at the point of no return. Climbing over that chute gate, he settles down inside. The tension's rising, but he can't wait until they turn that bull outside. He's addicted to danger, ruled by passion and pride. The pain and fear is no stranger, but his life needs to be satisfied. Hooked on his second ride.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and Eyes was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandeyes.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a Redneck and Eyes.